The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Seated. God bless you. Thank you so very much. Open your Bibles, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. I appreciate the atmosphere and the agenda of the Parkside Baptist Church. You don't have to be on the property very long to sense right away that this is a 100% fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, premillennial, missionary-minded, temperamental Baptist church. There's nothing wrong in America, but what could be made right by these type of churches? Well, many are calling and clamoring for new ideas. I believe from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, we need to just stay on old paths with old-time religion. You say, what is old-time religion? It is fundamentalism. You say, what is fundamentalism? I'm glad you asked. It's New Testament Christianity. They're all one and the same. And I so appreciate the fact that now for many, many, many years, Dr. Mike Wells has carried the banner and the Parkside Baptist Church for old-time religion. I so appreciate the young people as they've sung tonight and others. It's been a blessing to set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. I'm anxious in hearing my dear friend, Dr. Jeff Fugate, preach yet tonight. I tell you what, if you've come to hear preaching, we're going to get a boatload of it, and I'm anxious in hearing the next man of God as he thunders truth tonight. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 3. I almost feel like that I need to give you, like Paul Harvey used to say, page 2, the rest of the story and the message that I'm going to attempt to preach tonight. Back in the summer of last year, I was in a revival meeting in Chesapeake, Ohio. It was a Sunday night. I was on the front row. I was waiting to preach. And while I was waiting to preach, there was a quartet that was singing. And they got about to the last stanza of their song. And God seemed to say to my heart, If you're a preacher, you know what that is. God seemed to say to my heart, about what I thought I was to preach that night. And I'm not crowing, but like old Joe Friday used to say in Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I had one of the prettiest little outlines you've ever seen tucked away in my Bible, ready to go that night. But the Lord said in my heart, about what I was to preach. And so I quickly prayed and I said, Lord, if you'll tell me what to preach tonight, I promise I'll preach it. And so I reached down to the end of the pew. There was a stack of revival flyers. I quickly grabbed one. I flipped it over. And I outlined the thought that I'm going to try to drop and deposit in each and every one of our hearts. The quartet got done singing, and I wasn't done preparing the sermon. So I said, would you sing it again? And they thought because I was blessed, but I wasn't done with the sermon. So if you happen to see that quartet, I would appreciate it if you don't let him in on the secret. I wasn't done studying. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, and I'll begin reading with verse number 13 through verse number 17, where we find the text of the message. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning with verse number 13 through verse number 17, where we find the text of the message. Now, I've heard Dr. Fugate, my dear friend, enough to know that all I need to do tonight is bunt. That's all I need to do. I'll bunt. I'll get on first base. He'll come in a little while and preach and drive me home, and I'll score. He'll score. And late in the evening, we'll look at the scoreboard, and it will read, Saints 2, Aints 0. And so I'm just going to bunt and get out of the way tonight. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 13 through verse number 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him,
Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Please look back with me at verse number 13. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, and verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight. What kind of preacher would Jesus still go here preach today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If I know my heart, I want to be a blessing. But the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. Give Dr. Fugate a measure of preaching power as he's yet to preach tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. Presently, there are many different and distinct ways people manage in using to describe a minister. They will say things like, he's a teacher preacher, he is a conference preacher, or even he is a fireball preacher. Certainly, all declaring of the truth should have the elements of content, class, and combustion. But there is another type of preacher that every Christian should want to hear and every clergy should work to have as their hero. What kind of preacher would Jesus still go here preach today? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, we find the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the strange servant, verses 1 through 4. The successful service, verses 5 through 6. The striking sermon, verses 7 through 12. And then the submissive son, verses 13 through 17. It is while the Apostle Matthew is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the submissive son that a person sees the travelogue of the Son of God to John the Baptist. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Within the first word, Dr. Wells, then, and the last word, him, of this verse, there are two noteworthy truths, one obvious and the other not so obvious. One surface and the other beneath or below the surface. Now, the obvious reason, and whether you've been saved days or decades, you're aware of it. The obvious reason, first of all, is Jesus went to Jordan to be baptized by John. The second not so obvious reason, or beneath or below the surface, is Jesus went to Jordan to be in the crowd to hear John preach. Why, just look at how the chapter starts. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And so we have an obvious reason. First of all, John again went to Jordan to be baptized by John. That's the surface truth. And then we have a not so obvious reason, or beneath or below the surface truth, and that is Jesus went to Jordan to be in the crowd to hear John preach. That means that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ traveled 60 to 70 miles from the rolling hills around the Sea of Galilee to the fertile fields of the Jordan Valley on foot, which would have taken 17.5 hours to be within earshot of this biblical, bold Baptist preacher. Now, I want to give you a sidebar by saying I will sign the back of my love offering check, and I will give it to you from this conference if you show me three out of the four Gospels, three preachers that Jesus ever went to hear preach. Now, before you put on a pot of coffee and plan an all-night Bible study, let me just tell you that this is the only preacher. This is the only man of God. This is the only preacher that Jesus went to hear preach. He never went to hear the disciples. He never went to hear another follower of the Lord. He never went to hear the disciples. Here it is, the only preacher that Jesus ever went to hear preach. Never forget, America is in the shape she is at this moment because of a sad shortage of John the Baptist prototype pulpiteers. Now, if you miss everything I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, America, America. And my, I appreciate us starting the service with the Star-Spangled Banner, which leads me to say, if you don't love America, why, in this service we'll take an offering and buy you a raft with several holes in it and ship you wherever you want to go. But America is in the shape that she is at this moment because of a sad shortage of John the Baptist prototype pulpiteers. Friend, you and I need to know the traits of the kind of preacher that the Savior still would travel to hear in a service today. Now, quickly, I want to give you, as God gave it to me, sitting on the front row, that revival meeting in Chesapeake, Ohio, three clear characteristics of the clergy that Christ would come to hear in this hour. And they're all found here in Matthew chapter 3. Let's quickly notice it tonight. What kind of preacher would Jesus still go hear preach today? Number one, a strong preacher. Verse 2. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A clear characteristic of the clergy that would come to hear Christ in this hour is a strong preacher. In verse 2, the apostle Matthew tells us that John the Baptist was a concentrated man of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, after his martyrdom, in a most eloquent eulogy, asked the question that everyone who knew anything about him had the answer on the tip of their lips. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. Luke 7:24. By way of his stout message, repent ye. A person can draw the correct conclusion that to in or even out of the pulpit, John the Baptist did not speak in foggy and indefinite, shadowy generalities. Dr. Smith go to his product table, and on it there are books that he authored on repentance. Hear him on Mother's Day, and you're getting a topical sermon on repentance. Pick up his latest article on the front page of a fundamental periodical and see its title, Seven Reasons You'd Better Have Repentance in Your Life. And hear him at the national conference, and you guessed it, he's delivering a stout expository thought, barn burning on repentance. Why, it was a Dwight Lyman Moody, the great evangelist, that once said, do not be afraid to say things that will make people mad. He went on to say that may be the only way to bring them to conviction of sin. When a baby has to be awakened, it often wakes up cross. Don't be discouraged, Mr. Moody said, if people wake up mad. Friend, you and I need to know the trait of the kind of preacher that the Savior would still travel to hear in a service today is a strong preacher. The Bible says in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. Our fine country, and even our fundamental churches, are seeing firsthand the rotten fruit of having turned Sunday into fun day, the Ten Commandments into the Ten Considerations, and preaching in to patty cake. Oh, the kind of preacher. Jesus traveled 60 to 70 miles, 17.5 hours on foot to hear John the Baptist preach. And the reason why, he was a strong preacher. What is the answer to the Rick Warren wannabes that are trying to hijack our fundamental movement? What is the answer to the Joel Osteen wannabes that are trying to hijack our fundamental movement? Dare I say it? You know I dare. What is the answer to the Richard Simmons wannabes that are trying to hijack our fundamental movement? The answer is the same as it was in John's day: strong preaching. Now don't come around me telling me how much you appreciate Mr. Trump and his plain spokenness. Hello? And go for the jugular delivery and his stout statements when you can't even handle announcements, let alone old-fashioned Bible preaching. Make America great again. Back in the spring of last year, 2016, it was during this conference on Sunday morning, after teaching a combined adult Sunday school class and preaching in the morning service, kicking the conference off, I went out this side door right here and was met by a family of four, a sharply dressed young family that the church growth gurus would label millennials. And they stopped me and they said, Dr. Hamlin, do you have a moment? And I said, absolutely, how can I help you? And they said, happened last year during this conference after I'd preached Sunday morning, I mean just right outside that door in the hallway, they said in the last 4 weeks we're visiting the Parkside Baptist Church, and in the last 4 weeks we have been to four independent Baptist churches, and this is the very first one that we've heard strong preaching, and we just want you to know that we loved it, and we're going to come back, and we'll be in every service. Now, they didn't go to four liberal churches. Hello? They didn't go to four modernistic churches. They said, we have gone to four independent Baptist churches in our area, and this is the first one where we've heard strong Bible preaching. I just want to say, baloney on the blogs, and hallelujah for the Holy Bible. Because it doesn't matter if you're a millennial or a Generation X or whatever, there still are people on planet Earth that want to hear strong Bible preaching. By the way, I need to tell you that I preached that morning the devotional thought, when the devil takes the title reverend. Devotional thought. What kind, don't bow your head, I'm not closing in prayer. What kind of preacher would Jesus still go here preach today? A strong preacher. Number two, let me hasten. And I know I'm going to get stuck here. Number two, a straight preacher. Oh, yeah. Please look at it, verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. A clear characteristic of the clergy Christ would come to hear in this hour is a straight preacher. In verse 3, the apostle Matthew tells us that John the Baptist was a conservative man of God. If a person should want to doubt or even dispute that, all they need to do is blow the dust off their Bible and see in Matthew 40 and 3 how this mouthpiece for God was tied to the Bible, and he was totally thrilled about it. Sidebar, preachers that are tethered to the Word of God are going to be conservative or straight in their preaching, in their personal soul winning, and in their pattern of living. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it is altogether right to live our lives inside the pages of the Bible. We do not go outside of the Bible. We stay in the Bible. And the reason that Jesus would travel 60 to 70 miles, 17.5 hours on foot, was to hear John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was a straight preacher. Why, there are some preachers that are so stinking crooked that when they die, they're going to have to screw them in the ground to bury them. Well, there are several things that preachers in the present must be straight on, like preachers in the past. First of all, there's the message of salvation. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A thing that preachers in the present must be straight on, like preachers in the past, is the message of salvation. And the pattern is John the Baptist. It would be worlds better to preach your voice gone about the Lamb of God on Sunday than to wake up on Monday with a voice that is as golden as an opera singer. The message of salvation. Secondly, the madness of society. Mark 6:18 for John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. A thing that preachers in the present must be straight on, like preachers in the past, is the madness of society. The moral conscience of the country should be the fundamental pulpit. Wherever you pastor, whether it is in a large city, whether it is in a small town, whether it is in a tiny burg, wherever you pastor, God has designed and determined that that pulpit be the moral conscience of that area. Now, I don't know what you think when you consider what Herod was up to. But when I think about it, Dr. Young, I don't need a Tums or a roll of Tums. I need a case of Tums. When I think about what Herod was up to, how that he was with his brother's wife, and if that upset John the Baptist, and if John the Baptist there preached against that, can we fast forward to 2017 and ask ourselves the question, what in the world would John the Baptist be saying tonight? Where there's a big debate, big discussion on what bathroom people ought to use. Go to your birth certificate where it says gender. Whatever it says, that ought to clear up the conundrum of what bathroom you ought to use. And any man that wants to get in a woman's bathroom is a sick ticket. Any woman that wants to get into a man's bathroom is a sick ticket. And if old John the Baptist literally preached his head off about what Herod did, good night in the morning, I wonder what he'd say about today. We're too interested in the acceptance of man instead of the amen of God. Madness of society. Thirdly, the ministry of servants. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. The thing that preachers in the present must be straight on, like preachers in the past, seen from the ministry of John the Baptist, is the ministry of servants. The work of God, please listen carefully, isn't to be done by those who think that they're the big cheese or the CEO or the big gun. The work of God is to be done by those that find the shadow of the Savior and then labor in his shadow. Church is not supposed to be run like Starbucks. Church is not supposed to be run like Walmart. Church is not supposed... We got folks that got this idea that the preacher is supposed to be the big cheese, the CEO, the big gun. Let me tell you something. What we need to do is we need to get in the shadow of Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's all about him. And find his shadow and labor in his shadow. Young preacher said to me recently, came to the book table, and he said, Dr. Hamlin, I'm going to Bible college. I said, why? He said, to learn how to build a website. I said, stay home. Stay home. Go to a community college. Now, hey, I'm not against the things of today as far as electronics and technology. I understand this is 2017, and please don't come to me after the service reminding me of that, because I do have a calendar. I know that it's 2017. But I remember, Dr. Fugate, when young preachers, they didn't go to a Bible college to learn how to build a website. They went to Bible college to sit under a giant for God and good and learn how to be a fundamentalist and learn how to do the work of God. It had nothing to do with the latest little trick or technology. Oh, the things that preachers in the present must be straight on, like preachers in the past, is the message of salvation, the madness of society, and the ministry of servants. Christmas Evans was a Welsh nonconformist preacher who is regarded as one of the greatest ministers in the history of Wales. He was born on December 25th, 1766, thus Dr. Smith, his nickname Christmas, and suffered a very unhappy childhood. I had no formal education, raised by an alcoholic relative, and at the height of his ministry, oh my, lost the use of one of his eyes. But his remarkable memory, copious vocabulary, keen sense of drama, infectious humor, and vivid imagination combined to make him a persuasive orator. When on his deathbed, a number of young men that he had greatly influenced gathered around the headboard to get one bit of advice before his homegoing. The angels were gathering their transport, that great servant of God, to glory. And Christmas Evans, with ebbing strength, raised himself up off of that pillow, looked every one of those young preachers in the eye and said, preach the blood in the basin, boys. Preach the blood in the basin. Preach the blood in the basin, boys. Man, I tell you what, the reason that Jesus would travel the distance that he did to hear John the Baptist preach is he knew old John was going to go ahead and preach the blood in the basin, boys. Hey, straight preacher. And then number three, and last of all, my time is gone, And I'm out like a fat kid in dodgeball. Oh, God wasn't in that, but it was hilarious. Not only a strong preacher and a straight preacher, but number three and last of all, a standout preacher. Verse 4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. A clear characteristic of the clergy that Christ would come to hear in this hour is a standout preacher. In verse 4, the Apostle Matthew tells us that John the Baptist had a conspicuously excellent, was a conspicuously excellent man of God when it comes to the messengers of God in his day outside of the Lord Jesus Christ this day. Or for that matter, any other day, this messenger of God reaches a height that is tantamount to a spiritual redwood tree in the vast forest of the ministers of God. John the Baptist was remarkably superior in his dress. John the Baptist was remarkably superior in his diet, locust and wild honey. Now, fellas, what that means is, if you had John the Baptist on homecoming Sunday, after that morning service and dinner on the grounds, you'd introduce John to preach in the afternoon service, and I mean there'd be a grasshopper leg hanging out the side of his mouth twitching when he went to preach. Because he stood out in his diet, locust and wild honey. He stood out in his deportment. He stood out, John the Baptist did, in his delivery. Oh, I wish I had time to park there for a moment, and I might throw a nickel in the parking meter and just take a second or two and give it a lick or two. But isn't it interesting that when John the Baptist passes off the scene and Herod hears about the preaching of Jesus, Herod says he's back from the dead. You know what that tells me? Friend, that tells me that Jesus preached the same way that John the Baptist preached. I saw on social media where an internet idiot, and I say that in all love and kindness, where an internet idiot said, we don't know how Jesus preached. It's amazing. A little Bible study would help you from being a fool. Yes, we know how Jesus preached. He preached like John, because when John was gone and Jesus preached, guess what? Herod said, why, it is John, and he's back from the dead. So he stood out in his dress. He stood out in his diet. He stood out in his deportment. He stood out in his delivery. But most importantly, he stood out in his divine endowment of power. He didn't fill churches, but countrysides with people to hear him preach. And it was the unlimited, raw, and unrestrained power of God that accomplished it. Mark 1 and 5. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea. Evangelist Mays Jackson once said, many people have made the trip to Calvary for salvation, but very few of them have made the trip to the upper room for the spirit-filled life. Friend, if that is true for the pew, it is triply true for the pulpit. Friend, you and I need to know that the reason that Jesus would go and hear John preach is because he was a standout preacher. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Pardon me, but I'm deeply concerned with some, even in our own fundamental movement, who are impressed with marketing shenanigans and management styles, but not impressed by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Yep, I said it. There ought to be a degree in every man of God's ministry that is unexplainable. In every one of our ministries, there ought to be something that can't be put down with pen on paper, that can't be put in a petri dish, that can't be put under a microscope slide, that there's no formula to it other than, man, you got to give God glory and you got to say hallelujah and you got to give God praise because God's the one that did it all. Newsflash, to build temples is easier than the be temples of the Holy Spirit. I'm closing with this. A.J. Gordon was the most prominent and spirit-filled Baptist preacher of the early 19th century. He was named after Adonai Judson, the greatly used of God Baptist missionary in Burma. He authored one book, in fact, several books, but the one that caught my attention that A.J. Gordon authored was The Ministry of the Spirit. He once took an English preacher, we're not sure who it is, but we could guess, took an English preacher to see one of the seven natural wonders of the world, Niagara Falls. And they went to the Whirlpool Rapids, and Mrs. Hamlin and I, many, many years ago now, well, 35 years ago, we took our honeymoon to Niagara Falls. I know exactly where this place is. A.J. Gordon with that English preacher was there at the Whirlpool Rapids, and at the Whirlpool Rapids, A.J. Gordon said to that preacher, "How would you like to see the greatest unused power in the world?" And the preacher said, "Oh, yes." And so A.J. Gordon took him to the brink of the Niagara Falls. And as he stood at the brink of the Niagara Falls, A.J. Gordon said, "There it is, the greatest unused power in the world." And the English preacher looked at A.J. Gordon and said, "Ah, not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the power of the Holy Ghost." I mentioned to you that A.J. Gordon wrote several books, but one book he wrote was The Ministry of the Spirit. And although I cannot prove this, I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb by saying it probably was that conversation. And it probably was that moment. And it probably was that experience at the brink of Niagara Falls when that British preacher looked at A.J. Gordon and said, "Ah, no, this is not the greatest unused power of the world. The power of the Holy Ghost is that there created a hunger and a hunt in the heart of A.J. Gordon for the power of God. I need to have that hunger. I need to go on that hunt. And friend, you do as well." Back to our text of Matthew chapter 3, I preached all that to make two quick statements. I said that, Dr. Wells, in a conference the other night, late at the book table, said, "You know, if you'd just made the two quick statements right up front, we'd have been home by now." Couldn't believe Mrs. Hamlin said that. I could not believe that she said that. But two quick statements. Number one, this is the only preacher, the only preacher Jesus ever went to hear preach. Right. The only one. He traveled 60 to 70 miles, which would take 17.5 hours on foot to be baptized, absolutely. But more than that, to be in the crowd to hear John preach. Second statement. If you've been preaching a while, you've gotten the email, you've got the anonymous letter. Old D.L. Moody was in a meeting preaching, and he went to the pulpit, and there was a note on the pulpit, and it just said, "Fool." Mr. Moody read the note. He said, "Fool." He said, "All these years I've been getting notes where people have not signed my name or have not signed their name." He said, "Here somebody has written a note. They signed their name, but they forgot to write the note." Oh, if you've been at it a while, you've gotten the email, you've got the anonymous letter, you've got the attack on social media, and every once in a while, just being human, you wonder, you know, none of us want to make anybody mad. None of us want to upset anybody. We're not wired that way. We're in the people business. We want to help people. We want to see people blessed and used of God. And sometimes we fall under criticism and we receive Friendly fire. Enemy fire is when you get shot in the front. Friendly fire is when you get shot in the back. And we get friendly fire. And every once in a while, we might get a little bit down. But guess what? It doesn't matter who said, I'm not going to hear John, because Jesus went to hear John. And if when you and I preach, we are strong and we are straight and we stand out, guess what? There may be people who don't want to come, but Jesus shows up. And if Jesus shows up, that's all that matters.
Because everybody's going to get the help they need if Jesus shows up. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.